The Download with Justin Kaufman. I'm Matt Bubala filling in for Justin tonight. Happy 4th of July, everyone. As Dan was mentioning, traffic getting a little tougher as you're heading to Navy Pier, maybe some of the suburbs that are celebrating with fireworks tonight. Down here at Navy Pier, the lines might be a little longer as they're going to be a little more careful. We've seen lots of police cruisers cruising up and down Michigan Avenue, undercover cars with multiple officers inside. Seems to be more of a police presence than normal, as there's more people out than normal, and maybe the 4th of July is a time to be a little more vigilant or a little bit more worried about something happening. Is that what happened a year ago today? A Muslim woman named Angel Almatar was trying to catch a CTA train at the State Lake Station in the Loop. She's going up the stairs. There's a surveillance video that I was just watching online. She's heading up the stairs, people in front of her. 4 to 5 police officers grab her from behind, bring her down on the stairs, and arrest her. Just this week, and that's another separate issue, it's a whole year later, that just this week she was found not guilty. She was charged with reckless conduct and resisting arrest. But her attorneys say that maybe these officers were guilty just of profiling her. She says she's going to file a civil lawsuit soon. But let's find out a little more about this. And about, I mean, here it's Independence Day. We talk about our freedoms as Americans and the worries we have, though, about protecting those freedoms and protecting ourselves from everything we hear about going on around the world and what happens here in America once in a great while. And the profiling, though, is the concern that ordinary Americans get profiled because of what they wear or their faith or different things like that. Joining us on the phone first is Aaron Goldsting, a supervising attorney with the Cook County Public Defender's Office. Good evening, Aaron. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it. I wanted to chat with you first. We're going to speak with Imam Mujahid in a few minutes. He's a local community leader in the Chicago Muslim community. But I wanted to chat with you first because the stories I've read don't give me much explanation of what in the world happened here other than 5 police officers suddenly come up and tackle a Muslim woman on the stairs. I know she was charged with reckless conduct and resisting arrest. What did the CPD state about why they came and wanted to catch up with her or speak to her? Did something happen before the stairs, or what's the reason they were coming after her in the first place?
Yeah, nothing happened other than she was a passenger on the CTA train walking from her destination. She had gone shopping that day in Albany Park, and she was going home to Oak Park. And she had taken a series of trains. So she took the brown line to the red line and then to the green line. So police officers downtown happened to see her as she was walking from one train to another. And what was she doing? She was walking. And they specifically stated that it was her appearance and, to quote them, the purposeful walk in which she had. She had a backpack that she was holding in front of her as opposed to on her shoulders, on her back. And it was those reasons that they said, they took a notice to her. They decided to follow her and then they tackled her.
Okay, so she had done nothing. I mean, there was no report. There was nobody called in, a suspicious person. Just police noticed her walking from one train to another. Did they know she had taken several trains? Was there some, you know, race suspicion? And were we at a heightened state? I don't recall a year ago today. Was there a heightened state? Were there reports that the CPD were worried about something happening on the 4th? Was there more concern than normal?
There was no public heightened state. Our alert nationally was not raised, but the Chicago Police Department claimed that they were given notice of to be vigilant. And they acknowledged, the police department acknowledged that there was no specific claims. They couldn't narrow it down. They couldn't say what a potential person would do or look like or where this would come from. They just said that they were concerned of a lone wolf attack. And they didn't give a description of this person or what they would be wearing. So based on that, they put two and two together and saw Angel and decided to follow her and then eventually tackle her.
4 or 5 police officers doing this all at once? That seems surprising, doesn't it?
Yes.
That there are that many officers?
Well, there were 3 originally, and then two sort of came
behind. Two come up
the
stairs very quickly afterwards.
Yeah, so 3 were the original ones following her, and they claimed they were calling out to her. saying, "Person in black, you know, please stop," or they weren't saying please, but
sure.
They claim that they were arguing. But the video is, in my opinion, and I think that the courts saw it the same way, it was pretty clear that no one else was turning around. So if I'm walking in front of you and you call out to some people in front of me, most likely I'm going to turn around just because, you know, it's a unnatural thing. When someone starts calling out, you just sort of, your instinct is to turn around. And they claim that they were consistently calling out to her, but no one on the stairs, no one on the sidewalk turned around. So it became pretty clear that wasn't true.
And even if they did, I could also see nobody's turning around because, well, I don't know if that's a cop. I don't know who that is calling. I'm hoping they're not calling out to me. There's, I think, concern that you have about who's really calling you and do you want to engage with them when you're, you
Correct.
Know, walking around in the big city.
And not to mention, you know, there's a fundamental point, too, which, you know, became part of the trial, which is we have the right in this country to ignore a police officer. The police officer needs certain information. They call it reasonable suspicion or probable cause to in any way detain us. So a police officer can't approach me or you and say hi, and we can stop and say hi. We can also, as, you know, free people in this country, walk away. So even if they were saying stop, they had no basis to tell her to stop. So she could have, let's say they said it, and let's say she heard it. She had every right to say, you know, no, thank you. I want to continue on and be about my business. They had no right to enforce that stop because they had no basis to tell her to stop. And they had no basis to put their hands on her, which they eventually did and tackled her.
Well, and I don't understand. They charged her with reckless conduct and resisting arrest. The video stops shortly after they take her down, as far as what I can see. How did she resist arrest? Just by continuing to walk? Is that what the charge is, or was she fighting back a little bit when she gets taken down?
They claim she fought back. So she's walking. She's a very petite woman, you know, very small. She's by herself. She's in a foreign country. And all of a sudden she gets tackled by people. She didn't even know who they were. She in fact asked, "Are you a thief? Are you a robber? What are you?" And she gets tackled, and maybe instinctually she sort of, you know, gets into the fetal position. If someone came from behind and put their hands on you, you sort of naturally sort of get in a defensive position. But she didn't hit. She didn't tug. She didn't resist in any way. They just claim there was a resisting. And, you know, the honest truth is, and, you know, I've been in private practice, I'm now with the public defender's office, and I've sort of seen it on many different sides. And what the police a lot of times do, they take an aggressive approach. So they may stop someone illegally, they may arrest them illegally, but they want to be on the offensive, so they'll charge them with something. Because if they charge them with something and get them to plead guilty or get them, you know, to be found guilty, God forbid, then that ruins the civil suit. Then that ruins the complaint against the police. So we see that as a tactic that the police use.
So she's carrying a bag. So the suspicious parts of Angel were undoubtedly that she's a Muslim woman in a hijab walking down the street. And that could be denied all you want. But as Americans, with what we've seen in the world, I think there is a natural inclination that is an indicator, whether we want to admit that or not. I think it is. She's carrying a backpack in the front instead of the back. And that probably is another thing that they're getting suspicious about. Did she say, and she has every right to carry a backpack however the hell she wants, it's America. But did she say why she carries it that way? My guess would be, yeah, I'm more likely to get mugged carrying my goods on my back than if they're in my front.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, not to mention she has food in that bag.
Yeah.
So think of a paper bag that you would carry in groceries. It's similar to that. So you know, you're worried about someone coming from behind and taking your bag. You're worried about someone stealing something from you. And you're also carrying fragile items, you know, food and perishables that you don't want to bump against someone or bump against the wall. So you hold it next to your chest as opposed to your back. But here's the thing, and this is what's so fascinating, because we could go on and on about, you know, the principles of whether the police should have followed her or shouldn't have followed her. And I'll even concede just for a second that, okay, she looked unique.
Sure.
At least, you know, within the July 4th and the downtown area of Chicago. So you So you watch her or you take a look at her, but you don't tackle her. And what's good law enforcement? Let's say she did have a bomb, which she absolutely didn't. She had nothing of the sort. She had food with her. You're tackling her on the platform of a CTA train in the height of July 4th. I think a Cubs game had just let out. I mean, there's thousands of people. So if this person had a bomb, the police are now tackling someone who supposedly has a bomb. Like, that couldn't have been worse police work.
Well, I guess that would be debated, because they're going to say, well, do we want to let her get on the train and detonate it then, theoretically, if that's what's going on, or do we want to try? Although I can't imagine they really believe she had a bomb and they're tackling her.
Yeah, I mean, there was an opportunity to say, ma'am, we'd just like to talk to you. And they didn't. And they didn't follow any of the protocol or any of that. That wasn't the way to handle it.
Did any of the police have to testify in this trial at all?
Yes, they did.
And what did they say about why they acted the way they did, other than that we were calling out her name, she wouldn't turn around? Was there any reason given to why you grabbed her like you did? I mean, it looks like the one officer sort of tries to grab her arm, and the other one is the one that really grabs her. And he might have even said, I didn't mean to take her down, but she kind of slipped as we grabbed her. We were worried she was not responding to our calls, so et cetera, et cetera. What was their story?
Well, I mean, they were following her from the underground area of the train and from the red line. So they're following her, and the reason why they explained it is it can be boiled down to how she looked. And they had no, there was nothing connecting to the way she looked to this threat that they thought there was. And while they didn't say it specifically, I think it's a fair conclusion to say that she looked Muslim.
Sure.
And based on that, they decided to take that action.
But they didn't say why they grabbed her instead of, say, getting in front. I mean, what if she had hearing issues? Maybe she couldn't
hear
them at all.
Or they had headphones, or she had headphones.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, the officers were a bit inconsistent. One of the officers said they were just trying to grab her attention.
Yeah.
So they grabbed her by the arm.
Yeah, the one officer did sort of grab her by the arm. The other one then comes upon her and then things go down. Well, I'm glad she was found not guilty at the very least of the charges. And now, will you continue to represent her? Is your job done because you're a public defender?
Yeah. My job's done because I'm a public defender. And just if I can make a side note,
yes,
is you had mentioned the comment about, you know, why it takes a year. Just to give a little background, Angel had gone through two private attorneys. She had hired attorneys. And finally, those attorneys either abandoned her, didn't help her, and finally she had no money, and she had the public defender. And let me just tell you about public defenders, you know, which obviously I'm biased, but how proud I am. Amy Campanelli is the public defender, and she's been for the public defender for a year, and she's just phenomenal. And she worked, she helped me out, and we strategized on this case. Camille Durham is another public defender that worked with me on this case, and she was excellent. And, you know, there is an absolute solid founding as far as public defenders that we take all cases. You know, we don't discriminate. We take everyone. You can't afford an attorney, and we represent you to the fullest. And I think it shows a lot about our criminal justice system, which has tons of flaws. But in the end, it was the public defender, the attorneys that represent everyone, you know, who cannot afford an attorney. We make no judgments, and we were able to give her freedom. So that's what makes me proud.
Well, I'm glad you got to say that, Aaron, because I know that the public defenders do not make much money, and you have to take every case, and, you know, it's a tough job. You don't have the resources everybody else has. So thank you for being there for people that need you in those times. And I'm sure a lot of times there are people that are guilty, but everybody in America deserves representation. That's what we're founded upon. So we need you guys there for them. And thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron Goldstein with the Cook County Public Defender's Office. Also joining us on the phone is Imam Mujahid. He is with the Muslim community here in Chicago. He's in the Chicago. He's the chair of the Parliament Board of Trustees, or he was from 2010 to 2015, is the president of Sound Vision Foundation, which runs the Daily Radio Islam, and a former chairperson of the Council of Islamic Organizations of Greater Chicago. Imam Mujahid, thank you very much for jumping on the phone.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much.
Absolutely. So I want to get your take on this a little bit. I know this is something that the Muslim community, I'm sure, deals with on a day-to-day basis, and it's not just with the police. It's with all of us Christians walking around. That's maybe poor terminology, but the general white person who looks a little bit askance at Muslims, especially ones wearing hijabs, when all the stories we hear from around the world, the only stories that we truly hear probably about the Muslim faith are the people that are committing terrorist acts and saying it's in the name of the Muslim faith. So when you hear a story like Angels here in the Chicago area, how do you react to that?
Well, first of all, I would say thanks to Aaron and the public defender. I was in the courts. They did a marvelous job. I first time developed respect for public defenders, listening to seeing how good of a job they have done. So on behalf of Muslim community and all the citizens, I would say that that's the text money best use in Chicago. So that's first thing. Second thing is, Angel case sort of defines what we are facing. In last 4 days, 6 Muslims have been shot at in 4 states while going to mosque, just in last 4 days. And when I heard about Angel's case, first I was saddened that I didn't hear about it early enough, meaning that media simply misses most of these stories, what happens to Muslim community. I found out through a labor organizer who was taking about 20, 30 people. So I received a message and I showed up there. It's not just she was assaulted by officers. She's, by the way, I asked her how much you weigh. She is 90 pounds and 5 feet. And the officers, 3 of them were more than 6 feet tall. And they mention in the court 220 pounds. She was not only assaulted like that, but she was kicked. It was fast. When she was taken to she was disrobed right there. If they knew it was a bomb, they would not have done it. They would have shot her or they would have called bomb squad. That whole bag was sitting right there. People were passing by. So it was essentially a joke of profiling because one of the officer kicked her. She has bruises on her body. Then she was taken to the police station, despite the fact that the Sinifi K-9 was brought in and there was nothing she had other than food. In front of her, one of the officers ate her food. She pointed that officer out to me, who ate her food. The result was that she was already fasting for 17 hours, and then she fasted next day without any food. She was strip searched. Her photographs, her videos were taken. Male officers were brought in watching her naked. She suspect that her video was being texted at the same time. So this is a lot of harassment and at the same time, a lot of wastage of tax money. Police training, I think, is a major issue. Not only the state attorney keeps saying, look at her dress, look at her dress, look at her dress. I think that's what happened. America need to know people who are bombing or committing terrorist act in America, they're sitting in bars. They're trying to mix with the rest of the people. They're not dressing Islamically. They're not going to mosque. It's a very, it's a pure profiling, silly profiling, which only hurts and wastage of tax money.
Well, as you know, profiling goes on in many different areas, not just in the Muslim community. You're facing lot more than you ever have, of course, in the last few years. And it shouldn't happen, but it does, and it will continue to, I'm sure, for a while. But raising awareness of it and hopefully talking about it more. And quite honestly, Imam Mujahid, ordinary Americans learning more about the Muslim faith. All we're hearing about is the terrible parts of the Muslim faith, and we don't hear enough about all the great aspects of the Muslim faith or the great works being done by the Muslim community. And one of the big things that you hear people say over and over again is they don't hear enough distancing of the Muslim faith from terrorists who claim to do their acts because of the Muslim faith. Do you think that's an unfair assertion?
Matt, that's where a show like yours, a person like yours, is important for America. There are 50,000 Muslim physicians saving lives every day in America. You don't have a show about them. You don't hear about them. They just remain. you know, even the guy who did the shooting in Orlando, a person from the same mosque where he once in a while went, called FBI
right.
that this guy is a problem. And Washington Post, who publishes a story, checked with the FBI. FBI says, yes, most of the terrorism cases in America are complained to by Muslims who suspect something and call. So Muslims are good citizens. But we must also realize that there was no suicide bombing in Iraq or Afghanistan or anywhere else. It all started after the Iraq invasion. And this is an established fact. People who are funded by Pentagon, like Robert Pape, he's a professor at the University of Chicago, he is funded by Pentagon. He has done all the suicide bombing. He has written this. Not a single case of suicide bombing in Iraq or Afghanistan. So it is connected. It's a political phenomena which our neighbors need to know. It has nothing to do with religions. Because if you're going to pick up the Quran and find some words of stand up and defend yourself, you'll find verses which are far greater and severe in Bible. So
yeah.
It has nothing to do with theology or religion. It has everything to do with the politics of war and terrorism, and both are connected phenomena.
But there's nobody currently quoting verses out of the Bible when they commit terrorist acts. Maybe there are people, probably, but not at the extent or not with the national world headlines that we have.
It is important to mention headlines, and this is where Muslims need to pay attention to. They need to invest more in public relations. Each Muslim organizations have condemned terrorism. Actually, in last sermon, I said that condemning terrorism five times a day has become the sixth pillar of Islam, except neither the terrorists are listening to us, not our media
public.
Is amplifying our message of peace, that what is happening has nothing to do with us.
So that's the answer to the question, though, Imam. You guys are denouncing it, you would say, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. But that message is not getting through. The media is not picking up on it, or people aren't hearing it, because there people accuse Muslim leaders of not condemning this enough. And you'd say, that's silly. That's all I do is condemn this stuff.
Yeah, there is a gap, but there are some clever people involved. They are called Islamophobes. A recent report came out. There are $200 million behind 34 organizations whose job is one. Point to ISIS, which Muslims condemn every day, and say, look at this. Islam is the problem, not some extremist out there, not the 1.5 billion people which we say are peaceful. They point out to these 4,000 or 5,000 people who keep doing these type of things, according to these are the numbers given out. They're nothing but a dot in the universe. But they point out, hey, that is the Islam. Unfortunately, these Islamophobes get more time in the media play in the mainstream than people like Matt and WGN, who will get a voice like mine on the air.
It's fascinating. Well, I hope we have you back again. I'd love to talk to you more down the road, Imam Mujahid.
Anytime. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much. And public defenders, I hope you will put more public defenders on air. I saw what they did. It was simply amazing. And that little girl was crying her face off.
I'm sure.
Sitting in the court, that justice in America is possible. That's the message of July 4th.
I really appreciate you being on the phone with us, Imam Mujahid. He is a former chairperson of the Council of Islamic Organizations of Greater Chicago.